Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger.
Hello.
Hi, Lex.
Hey.
Hey,
you're,
Lex.
You're in your Steve Jobs uniform, which
so
I love.
So are you.
I mean,
between our ponytail, like, this was not planned, to be honest.
I did not get the Steve Jobs memo. I wish I would have worn black with a ponytail.
Oh, my gosh. Jared has been kind of sort of experimenting with a ponytail, and I love it.
I don't like it because it makes me look like an old washed-up guitar teacher, which I don't like.
But I do like it because...
Have you considered teaching guitar lessons?
No.
I love it because my first crush in the history of me being a human being was the Green Power Ranger, and he had he had a long ponytail, middle part, long ponytail. Basically as long as Jared's hair, so like, it really like brings me back, and I love it.
It's weird. I mean, I'm not going to do the ponytail. I will do the aerial flips, though, if that's what
you
you're
need to like
for.
Lean into looking like an old hippie when you're older, because I don't know that there's anywhere else for you to go.
I don't really think
like,
there
I think
is.
That's where you're going.
No, it is. I think that that's actually a really good point.
And it's going to look good.
Yeah.
I hope so.
If you dress like this with like your hair back and you're going to get like a little salt and pepper, it's going to look nice.
I don't think he's getting salt and pepper. He's just going to probably go white. Like gingers just go white.
Yeah. I just, it's like Gandalf, if you guys know anything about Lord of the Rings.
No.
Should we get into that?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to embarrass myself anymore. Right.
But could you imagine Jared with his very red, freckly skin with just white hair? Look very, very wise.
Also provincial. Like if you had a white ponytail,
like
each of us, the three of us together would look like three founding fathers of the United States.
Guys.
That's right.
Like we all signed the Declaration of Independence with our low ponytails.
We are the tribunal.
That's right.
Did you know those guys were like 25 years old?
They make me sick.
It's just their frontal lobes were not even developed and they were signing. They were literally making amendments and rights that we still apply today.
They were more mature back then. And also they honestly did come up with a very smart system with checks and balances that I couldn't have come up with.
That is true.
Yeah. It's impressive, but it's not always applied correctly. But they tried.
They tried.
They tried. And that's all any
Alexander
of us can do.
Hamilton, that guy.
John Hancock, that my guy.
John Hancock.
The Hancock.
Handcock.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love that.
What a name.
Just Hancock.
What?
What?
Hancock?
I don't think there's a D in there.
There's no D.
Oh. But
it's better when you say it.
It sounds like you want there to be one, though, so we'll leave it in
Hancock. How are we doing today, other than like our matching outfits?
I'm feeling fun.
I'm feeling fun. I'm mixing up a little bit of champagne and a little bit of coffee.
It's
I don't
my
know
favorite
if that's a good
way to
idea.
Go. Yes, it is. It's basically like having an espresso martini.
It's ups and downs, baby. That's life.
It's a deconstructed espresso martini.
Just wait till you cut coffee out of your life and see how bad you feel.
I will never do
but
that.
But you feel bad now wanting it. Like there's no winning because I don't drink coffee and I still feel bad.
Mm. Oh, I love it. There's nothing like that. A nice jolt of the juice in the morning.
Is that true?
What do you do when you wake up?
Butts around. Like I have to, it takes me like an hour to wake up.
You putter about.
And I like check up on the news and I check my email and then I work out. But like my shit's not really going to like 10:30.
Yeah.
Because I need to like wake up and have breakfast because I don't do coffee. So there's really no way to like
be awake
and power on in a significant way.
Yeah. See, I could start like, well, I need my whole routine for like an hour. But after that, I could be like going.
Yeah.
Because I'm so juiced up because I drink so much coffee.
I'm moving and grooving at 11 to like 5:30. I can go like hard if I'm alone, like focused. And then I take
off. That,
I used to be able to go for 15 hours straight. But that's, like aging, man. It's
me too.
Aging will
me
get
too.
You.
I can't. I have to set that boundary or else I'll just. Because if I am buried in work or if it's like a long edit or something that I'm doing, it's like I won't stop and I just won't think to eat or anything like that. But like, that's young me.
I
like,
can't believe
out.
Jared forgets to eat. I literally think about the next time I'm going to eat all the time. It
I'm
consumes
thinking about
my mind.
Dinner right now.
I know.
And we just had a sandwich.
I'm thinking about what we're going to get for dinner tomorrow.
What
right
are
now.
You going to get for dinner?
Well, we're going to do a date night probably.
It takes. Yeah.
Is it Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so soon.
Yeah. So soon.
It's always Friday here on Killing Time.
That's right.
True. Well,
it's
always
Thursday.
Thursday, but you know what I mean. Tomorrow's always Friday.
Do we want to get into the day today?
Yes.
So it is May 18th. There's a couple dark days that are going on. So 1804, May 18th, Napoleon proclaimed emperor of France by the French Senate.
Mm. A wee lad.
A wee little guy.
I think he was that small. He was like 5'6" or something.
Which probably wasn't that small for back in the day.
No, they
probably
were all
pretty
small.
Average.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Jared, with your tall privilege.
Oh, come on.
Tall privilege.
Got the verticality going.
This is a dark day. May 18th, 1980, Ian Curtis, singer of Joy Division, dies by suicide. And then I love Joy Division.
Same.
Love Joy Division.
Me too.
And then the rest of the members go on to form New Order.
Of course they did.
Yes.
If you know anything about Joy Division,
you know.
You would know that.
You would know that.
Yeah, that sucks. Joy Division was a legendary.
To the center
of
the city of the world, waiting for you.
Yes.
To the depths of the ocean.
Fuck yeah.
Waiting for you.
I'm a little shocked.
Wow, that was pretty good.
I didn't know you had it in you.
I mean, you could fill
it. I had an ex-boyfriend that was very
obsessed with Joy Division.
And it's all. And he danced like Ian Curtis, just went in circles, pumping his arms.
Really?
Oh.
Well, so the Joy Division symbol was apparently Ian Curtis's brainwaves.
Oh, I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, so that was like some. It wasn't an Ian. What is it? It wasn't a heart thing.
EKG.
It wasn't an EKG. It was apparently like some brainwave thing.
Very interesting. That is.
And that's where that, like, when you see those waves.
Yeah,
on
it's the iconic Joy Division.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was just a design that H&M had made.
No, Ian Curtis's brainwave.
You mean Joy Division isn't a brand?
Have you seen the thing about, like, because you know, obviously, Forever 21 and H&M all sell like Nirvana shirts, and they're like, Kurt Cobain. Would be rolling over in his fucking grave. Oh, yeah.
They must be getting paid, the estates.
Of course.
Yeah, no, Francis Kurt, Bean is chilling.
Kurt, I mean, they need
Kurt
the money.
Kurt would laugh. I think he would be a good sport.
Yeah, maybe it would be so crazy.
He had this. Sorry, I'm way off base.
No,
but
okay.
He had a guitar pedal that he used, and it was modeled after Nirvana's sound. It was called the grunge pedal.
Oh, my God.
And it was being sold to kind of, like, capture the sound of the era, but he ironically just took it and started using it.
Really?
But he was the reason that it basically was created.
Yeah.
And then he like took it and laughed about it.
I feel like he was
it.
Like kind of in on his own joke.
He was a badass.
Yeah. I loved him.
He was young. So I'm sure he found he wasn't so jaded yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be like what, 27, yeah. right? Like imagine 27 where you were. Like yeah. I didn't take anything too seriously yet.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I loved him. I did like 3 college projects on Kurt Cobain. Like I had an obsession.
In college. I could see that.
I mean, I love his vibe.
But he didn't like wash his hair. You could tell.
But I like that's a
your
good
dirty
vibe.
Guy vibe.
Yeah, like I love a long floppy hair.
That's not washed?
That's not, I mean, it depends. His is definitely, he probably smelled. Anyways, okay. This is not a dark day. This is a great day. 1999, May 18th, Millennium. Third studio album by the Backstreet Boys is released. One of my favorite albums of all fucking time.
I don't think you could fit any more bangers on one disc.
So good. So good. It's one of the best-selling albums of all time, over 30 million copies sold.
Is it the one that goes, am I original?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's on Millennium. I mean, yeah, that probably is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Backstreet's Back? That's on that record,
well,
right?
My favorite is when they go, are you sexual? And his friends go, yeah.
And it's Nick Carter that sings that part.
You love like, no.
No, they were like 15. No, they're probably like 17 when that came out.
I love a supportive friend, you know?
If I was like, Jack, am I sexual? She'd be like, I don't fucking know.
They're like, ew, I don't care.
Yeah. Or like, leave me out of your games, Alexis.
A true friend would be like, yeah, bro, you're sexual.
You're super
but
sexual,
but I bet
dude.
You Luke Perlman was like, leave that in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that fucking creep. Yeah. I've got to say, dude, Backstreet Boys are still killing it. I saw them in a concert a few years ago. They are so fucking good still. And they have so many hits, it's insane.
Everyone.
Hit after hit after hit. I knew every word to every song.
Everybody is like one of my favorite songs. It's right up there with Eagle Eye Cherry Save Tonight.
Wow.
Everybody.
I mean, I was a Backstreet Boys and NSYNC fan. Like, I wasn't like a this or that, but like, I have to say Backstreet Boys have better songs. Like, they have better hits and bigger hits than
NSYNC. I liked NSYNC more back in the day. And now.
Because they were more heartthrobby.
Yeah, Chris Kirkpatrick didn't do it for me. Well, but other than that, he was like the knockoff AJ they were trying to make happen.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, nobody was bigger than Justin Timberlake. Like, there wasn't, there was Brian and Nick Carter, like, combined that would make, like, a Justin.
Justin rose above at that time.
He rose above everything. That's why NSYNC was bigger than Backstreet Boys, I think. Just
a little Harry Styles moment.
He's a star. Yeah.
He's a star. But, like, fuck him.
Now,
I don't think they
I saw him doing his little jigs recently, and I was like, it's not working anymore.
But here's the thing. Yes. That one that like gave everybody the ick.
He sent it around our group chat.
Yeah.
For a
sick.
Minute.
There was like, he was doing something and he was doing a little dance and it was like the video that went around the world and gave every girl the ick.
I will say that Future Sex Love Sounds record.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Future Sex Love Sounds is good.
The shit he did with Timbaland was out of control.
But we're talking about them now. I have seen like some NSYNC, like they've a few of them have gotten together and done stuff. By the way, I love Lance Bass. I feel like he's one of the only ones that is like still perfect. But Backstreet Boys as a whole still is killing it.
Yeah.
NSYNC as a whole, I don't know if it would be the same. Like, I don't know if it would give the same as Backstreet Boys, like how they're performing these days, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does.
You just gotta, well, I give it up to Joey for being able to host Cupcake Wars or whatever that shit is.
That's, Joey Fatone?
That's my dream arc, honestly.
Dude, same.
Like
Joey Fatone? Junior?
Yeah. So like, if things go the way that I plan, one day I too will host,
we'll host Cupcake Wars.
Dude, you could do Great British Bake Off. They're putting anyone on there. Mighty Boosh guys on Great British Bake Off.
I love him so much.
He's literally the reason why
And
he's like a massive celebrity in the UK.
It's a wild card pairing, though. I love it.
That's what makes it.
I know.
I mean, he's the best.
I want to be asked to judge anything.
I think it's
never gonna happen.
I think that both of you would be great judges. I want to be literally anything.
That's been my dream.
We're not biased, you know. I will award the person I hate if it's the best. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I really will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have like an expertise to judge in. That's where
it depends on what you're judging.
I guess. I want to be a judge or a host on something that's so fucking stupid. Mm. Like that's my dream.
That's what I'm saying. That's how
we gotta
create,
like Cupcake Wars.
We gotta create the idea.
That's how my arc reaches its peak velocity.
We should like pitch a show like Spooky Cakes.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yes.
Patent pending.
Spooky cakes.
Trademark.
Okay. We're so off topic. In 2005.
Cut this out, Jared.
Yeah, no, right.
Spooky cakes. Trademarked. In 2005, a photo of the Hubble Space Telescope confirmed that Pluto. Oh my God.
Wow.
A Hubble Space Telescope photo confirmed that Pluto has two additional moons, Nix and Hydra.
Hydra is a good name.
Hydra is a good name.
Dude, I love H names.
Hydra, a multiple-headed mythical creature
that
shoots fire.
But I want H names, and like Matt's last name starts with an H, so he vetoes. I'm like, but those are the best.
But that's why you need that.
That's right.
Okay, so let's get into my little deep dive. I have two mini deep dives.
Tell me everything.
The first one was on May 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens exploded.
Big boom.
Is that a
big boom
volcano?
Volcano,
yes.
Erupted with a 5.1 magnitude, causing a massive avalanche and killed 57 people.
Where is it?
In Washington.
It's up northwest.
We have an active volcano in Washington.
We had an active volcano
called Mount St. Helens.
Got craterized.
Oh, is it gone?
No, it's there, and I don't know if it's. I don't know what the dormancy state is, but dude, when it,
I think volcanoes just continue to stay.
If you see a before or after of that thing,
that is so fascinating.
Crazy.
So. There's this guy named David Johnson. He was a volcanologist.
Aspiration unlocked.
Volcanologist.
And he was studying Mount St. Helens from 6 miles away when it erupted. And he made a transmission stating, Vancouver, this is it. As the volcano erupted, the transmission went dead at this point, and his body was never found. And he was 6 miles away. I don't even know how that happened.
The lava swallowed him.
Isn't that crazy?
Hey, we played Flora's Lava as kids for a reason.
That's true.
It's
to prepare us for moments like that.
It's like unruly. And you can't be like, oh, the earth is only going to spit out this much lava. Like
I think the lava keeps coming.
Flora's Lava is scary, but the scarier game is Air is Ash, because that's one of the biggest problems with these things going kablooey is like.
Because they cool at a rapid pace once they hit the earth's atmosphere. From inside.
And it just covers so much area. Like, you think about, like, not being able to breathe in, like, a fire.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing as, like, a house fire.
Yeah, dude, volcanoes
are terrifying.
Usually
dying from the fire. You're dying from smoke and
we got to get rid of volcanoes.
Okay, anyways. This is another crazy thing. So there is a guy, a photographer. His name was Robert Landsberg. And he was, I think, on Mount, or, like, really close to it. He saw the explosion. He knew he was going to die. So he photographed the entire thing. Rewound the film back into its case, put the camera in his backpack, and laid himself on top of the backpack in attempt to protect the film.
That is an artist.
I know. They ended up finding his body 17 days later, buried with ash in his backpack, and the film was developed and provided geologists with all of this information and all of this footage. I looked up the photos. They're obviously so fucking spooky.
It's incredibly spooky, yeah.
But like, that's a true artist.
He's a Steve Irwin of volcanoes.
Yeah. I would just panic. I wouldn't think to do that.
No, that's a man who's like really trying to donate his body to science.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like in a really sincere, pure way. Like
yeah.
To be like, I can't make this mean nothing. I'm here to study this volcano. Your life's work. You guys are getting something out of this.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really inspiring and very sad.
I know, it's really sad. Yeah. Okay, so that was one little mini deep dive. My other deep dive, I just had to touch on this because it was so weird. So we've like talked about different UFO sightings, whatever. This was kind of a normal UFO sighting that happened on May 18th, 1946 by a guy named Gösta Karlsson. He was Swedish. So he saw this UFO, blah, 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 blah. We're going to cut to the next day. When he saw the UFO, he saw like the little aliens inside. And apparently, like when he came up there, one of them brought out this cup and they were drinking out of cups and they were pouring this like liquid into different cups.
Are you saying
cups.
He was abducted onto the craft?
No, he like went to go see what was going on. And he said the aliens in the craft were like very uninviting to him. So he was kind of observing.
Rude aliens?
Yeah. So he wasn't abducted. He was just observing. He saw like this.
He was
he probed?
He was not probed. Wow. He just observed, right? So then he goes back the next day to the spot. He's like, I got to prove that I actually saw this and it wasn't like a fever dream. And there's all this grass that was badly trampled and burnt with footprints from the supports of the UFO. And then he found two mugs, two of the mugs that the people were like drinking out of, the aliens. And
they drink out of mugs like us?
That's what I'm saying. They're passing around mugs drinking this liquid. So he said there is still a fragrant yellowish liquid in them.
Ew. And
then
fragrant.
Yellowish. Then he also found this gold ring and a transparent crystal rod with symbols engraved on it. Whatever.
Where is this rod?
So flash forward. That was 1946. Flash forward. This is the interesting part. In the 1970s, this same guy suddenly became the director of a really big pharmaceutical company called Cernel and a different one called Allergan. And as he himself stated, the drugs in them were created on the basis of the alien healing drink that he had found in the cups left by aliens.
How did he get the recipe?
I don't know.
This is big pharma, man.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
He suddenly became like the CEO of these huge pharmaceutical companies and all their stuff is made based on the liquid that he found in the alien cups.
Yeah.
So there's alien medicine out there?
Apparently. I looked up both of them. They still exist. I'm like, maybe I should start buying some products from them.
I got to give me some of those alien drugs.
Same.
Yeah.
They're probably way stronger than the ones here on Earth.
Yellow and fragrant.
Yellow, goopy, fragrant.
Goopy?
Liquid.
You left that out.
I put goopy. No, I added goopy.
She added goopy.
Sick.
I added goopy.
You're just doing that to fuck with me.
I know. Yeah. So anyways, that's our day. There a lot of things happened today. May 18th is a very...
What a roller coaster that was.
Eventful day.
Wow.
But when we come back, we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Welcome to On the Stand. Every week, we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We either love it or we hate it. We have a healthy discussion. Vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to Instagram. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty. We usually have a listener based on the stand. I think we have one today.
We sure do.
Do you want to start with it or end with it?
Before you do that, I feel like we should at least... Right off the jump here, let people know that they can call in and leave.
Jared, why don't you tell
and
us?
And on the stand.
You say you memorized it.
Or
no.
a worstie
and on the stand, same number. Or call us and just like leave us a
we
weird
have two numbers.
Voicemail.
So number, if you're an old listener and you have the old one, that one still works.
We check them both.
Yeah.
But you're going to want to call 818-449-4446.
Oh, shit. 6889.
Do it again.
818-446-6889.
Jesus, Jared.
I'm never going to remember it.
I'm also down to go first.
Go first.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not sure how everyone's going to feel about this, but I'm putting, and I don't know what the right answer is, and I would love your feedback.
I love these.
Top sheet.
Oh, this is good.
So Matthew, my boyfriend, is convinced that Big Bed has convinced us all that we need top sheet. In the way that Big Pharma.
I love Big Bed.
Big Bed.
There's a backstory. So when we bought our new mattress, we moved in together. Like, we bought this expensive bed. And the salesman was like, you're getting this. You need this mattress cover.
Yeah.
And it's $300. Like, you need it.
The mattress cover.
The cover
the
is a good thing.
The cover.
You need a mattress cover.
But this is part of Big Bed. And he's like, you can return it for your full price within 5 years if there's no stains on it. I was like, I'm not returning a bed. Period. I won't. I'll suffer. I will never return a bed.
Return the bed or the mattress cover?
Bed.
Okay.
But only if it's pristine.
Yeah, but that's why you use a mattress cover.
Or is that what Big Bed wants you to think?
No.
Oh, wait, hold on. I gotta get my story straight.
Big Bad is trying to hustle us at every turn.
No, these are two. Matt, that is
not, that is not my question. My question is, are we talking about the mattress cover
or the,
or
top,
the top sheet?
Top sheet. But this is an example of how Big Bad tries to oversell you.
So you're saying they're coming at us from multiple angles.
No, yeah, I think mattress cover is a necessity.
Whatever. Forget it. That was just Big Bed pushing some shows. But now I want to talk about
agenda.
I want to talk about the top sheet and how Big Bed wants us to think we need that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily agree. I like a top sheet, but Matt is convinced Big Bed has brainwashed us.
Once
and it just
again.
Makes everything harder because Big Bed rules.
Okay. I hate a top sheet. So I'm anti-top sheet forever. I think that they get all crumpled. They get in the way. They fall off one side of the bed.
Hot.
You get hot. Like, you can't put your leg out of the... It's like... It creates more problems than it solves. I really don't understand...
Big Bed.
I don't understand the
let
use
me offer
for
some,
top
let me,
sheet.
Let me offer some perspective for you, okay? Because up until we started dating...
You had a top sheet?
I had a top sheet.
What'd you do with
you
that?
You don't have a top sheet?
No,
I still have one.
We don't do the top sheet.
No, I've never.
We have a really,
never used a top sheet.
Really comfy duvet cover.
You don't need a top sheet.
It washes really well. It feels really good on your skin.
This is the great debate.
But here's
it's
the
to
perspective.
Keep you away from your duvet, so you don't make your duvet sweaty.
But here's the thing, I'm getting to it. This is the perspective. Grew up in Phoenix, always sweaty, always hot, AC on blast, whatever you're doing in the summer. The nice thing about the top sheet is you kick off the comforter or the duvet. And then you still feel like you're being covered, but you don't really want that much covering.
I could never
you.
Just sleep
so
with a sheet.
So you just go top sheet.
I would feel so vulnerable and afraid.
Again,
I'm not comfy enough.
I do not care how hot it is. I'm sleeping with a comforter.
Same.
But here's the thing that I'm going to say about the duvet and like not having to wash it as much. You do. And here's why. Because if you think about how you lay on a mattress when you're like, I don't know if you sleep on your side or your stomach or whatever.
Dude, you're still touching the comforter. When
that
you're
comforter's
top
probably
sheet.
In your armpit.
We wash ours a lot.
We do too.
Yeah.
But I also love a top sheet because I'm like, ooh, I don't know why. It's just one more layer of love.
I mean, it does feel
it's like
very
being back
much
in the
like,
womb.
It feels like you're at a hotel. It's very like hotel vibes, but I think they're useless.
So Matt is campaigning for us to get rid of our top sheet. Like,
I
know that's what
that.
He wants.
I'm with Matt.
But Big Bed says I need it.
But you're using a mattress cover, correct?
No, we have a mattress cover. I'm not
so
using a mattress cover for my top sheet.
No, but you need the mattress cover.
We
that is not
that.
Big Bed.
Beneath your fitted sheet, is there
the one they were
sheet?
Trying to hustle me that was super expensive? I was like, if you
buy
that.
No, one on Amazon.
Correct.
$20.
But they were trying to hustle me for like Big Bed's non-generic version.
No, you don't need to spend the big bucks for a mattress cover. All it needs to be is plastic on one side so it can catch all if something happens.
Correct.
Yeah.
The point is, though, is that there's a division in my household. I want a top sheet. He doesn't. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
I go with Matt.
I went top sheet for years, and after going without it, I will never go back.
Yeah, come to the dark side.
It's annoying. Because another thing is if you have them, like when you make your bed, if you're tucking that top sheet under the mattress, like at the foot of the bed.
Who
it's
does
just
that?
Another.
You get a weird, there's a difference in tension between
that. We don't do
that.
We
I like
don't
having
tuck.
The freedom to.
I hate.
That's
like,
why you have no
I
top
hate
sheet.
When you're in a hotel and like your feet are all like
hate
captured.
It.
I unburrito it.
Yeah.
So
hate
I can
it.
Hate it.
I like to tuck it under and do my own thing with it.
Yeah.
Great. All
no
right.
Top
so
sheet. Top sheet guilty.
Top sheet's guilty. All right. I was on the fence and I guess that's where we are.
You're getting rid of the top sheet.
Yeah.
I'll go next.
Great.
So today I'm putting on the stand joint bachelorette party.
Ooh.
Woo!
So we're doing a joint bachelor party. I'll start with that. We're planning it for June.
So you're going not guilty.
I'm going not guilty.
Hopefully.
I voted already. We have our bachelor party. How do we say bachelor parties?
You should
in
call
June.
It a like a
wedding party.
You should have your name. It's not like a stag party, and it's not like a like we'll come up with a little kitschy.
Yeah, we're having like our Jack and Jerry party, whatever it is. But it's in June.
Prenuptial party.
We're going to Vegas, and there was like a small time that I was thinking of just doing a bachelorette party, and I'm like, maybe we'll go to like Montana and do like cowgirl things and like whatever, do like a trip that I've always wanted to do, but like never have really done. But then when we started talking about it, and we're like talking about our friends, like so many of our friends have overlapped. That I'm like, there's kind of no point in separating everybody.
It would be so much more fun to all be together.
So much more fun to be all together. Like,
I agree.
It's going to be such a fucking blast.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. And I mean, like.
As much as like Jared really wanted to go and like have one last hurrah.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that because I was literally about to say, as someone who doesn't want to go and have one last hurrah.
No.
I think this is awesome because it's a really nice bridge between like my like geez. It's a nice bridge between where I come from and like Phoenix and all my friends back home and like all the friends that I've made out here through you and like what our life is now and getting everybody together, I think makes perfect sense.
It'd be so fun.
It'd be so fun. And everybody likes to party in Vegas. Like, who's going to say no to
that? Who doesn't like to party in Vegas?
Oh, dude, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of thinking of our wedding and our bachelor parties. Like, all I want to do is go on group trips with my friends.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to cultivate my wedding as just feeling like one big group trip with all of my favorite people. And that's kind of how the bachelor party, bachelorette party joint thing kind of came to be. Because I'm like, I have more fun with Jared. Like, I do. He's my best friend. Like, we have the most fun together. So I'm like, why would I want to separate for a time when we don't have to?
It fucking sucks when your boyfriend's not on a trip with you. It fucking sucks. Yeah. Or a fiance in your case. But I'm with you where I'm like,
it's just more fun. And like, you guys, all of my best friends are best friends with Jared too. So it's just like, what's the point in separating?
Our chat is called Bestie Chat.
I know.
Bestie Chat.
Well, that's just, if Jared had his own bachelor party, I feel like you would go.
I would.
Yeah, I would invite you.
If I wasn't invited, I'd be pissed.
Like, so many of our friends would like go because like they're so close. They're your best friends too. Yeah. So it just like for us, I know everybody's different. Some partners like aren't friends with their partner's friends and stuff like that. So it makes more sense. But like, all of our friends are friends with each other. Yeah. So it's like nobody is coming to either sides of our party that like don't know each other. It's like a big happy family. So for us, I feel like it just worked out really well.
So fun.
Yeah. I can't.
Not guilty.
Not guilty for sure.
Woo.
Can't wait.
Mine, I was on a FaceTime call with my mom like yesterday or the day before. Gwen, my mother.
Mother.
And I realized that when I'm on a Zoom call or a FaceTime call, I don't even look at the person I'm talking to. I'm staring at myself the whole time.
I think everyone does that.
I just, well, for, that's kind of like, I'm defending that because I feel like they're not looking at you in person. So you can't tell who's looking where when you're on a call. And like, I think it's like a little portion I've carved out of my life where I can be a little bit vain and just look at myself, which I'm not that kind of person. But
as others see you. Yes. So if you can actually see yourself on a screen, you're like, this is what other people are seeing.
Yeah.
We so rarely get that opportunity in real life to be like, how am I being perceived at this very moment?
Exactly.
Wow, and you can kind of analyze. But it's more about insecurity than like,
I don't even know if it's an insecure thing. I think it's just like
fascination.
It's not even, it's just like the human experience of just, we are, if given the opportunity, you're just going to like look at yourself. Like, I think that it's not a vain way. It's not like a self-obsession way. I don't think it's an insecurity way.
We were talking about it just today because the cameras that we filmed this on, if you're watching on Patreon, there is a monitor and we choose to keep them closed because it is very distracting when you can see yourself.
Yeah.
It's very distracting.
It is distracting. Like, what's the point of even FaceTiming? Yeah. Because everybody's just looking at themselves anyways.
I actually like FaceTime because you're so little in the corner. You don't really see yourself.
Yeah.
I prefer FaceTime to Zoom if you're trying to focus on the catching up.
For sure.
But, you know, Jared, this is a very common problem. Like, Narcissus was staring at himself so close in this river or pond that he fell in and he drowned.
And feel dangerously close to the edge. And that's why I wanted to bring this up, because I need to check myself first and foremost.
There you go.
But I'd like to see if anyone else out there does this. Because
everyone.
I just
find it really
funny. Not
guilty. I think we all do it.
I'm saying not guilty. You can go ahead and...
I want to say not guilty. Like, you can't not do it.
Stare at yourself.
Well, also, good for you. You know, introspection, outrospection. Maybe that's what that is. It's worth having.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, do we have our listener?
Ooh, yes, of course. Let's get right to it, shall we?
Hi, guys. So I have a something I'd like to prosecute. So it's so random, but my biggest pet peeve is when people use the microwave and then they take it out before the time ends on the microwave, and then they just leave the remaining time up on the microwave screen instead of, like, hitting end or cancel, and they just leave it sit there. Why? Just fucking cancel it. Just like end it. It's so dumb, but it pisses me off so much. So yeah, guilty as hell. Bye.
Let me summarize for everyone what it was because I can relate to this.
Okay.
Immediately. So what is bothering or incredible, stunning, insightful listener is that if you use a microwave and you take the item out sooner and then you close the door and it still is like 26 seconds remaining on the digital screen. And that bothers her. And that's something that would bother me.
Oh, me as well.
Forever. But that doesn't bother everyone. You have to be like a certain...
Neurotic. Neurotic, yes.
Yeah. But like, I know for me, that would bother me.
I think I know somebody who that might not bother.
Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, why would Jack care about
that?
She's
right there.
It wouldn't not bother me.
Depends on how, like, what she has going on. Because she could just literally walk away from that and be like, I'll handle it later. And then,
I mean, yeah, it just depends on what I'm doing that day.
I can't. I have to clear
it. I mean, also, though, I could, if I was distracted, I could also be the person who leaves it like that. But I think if I'm cognizant and aware, that would also bother me. But I'll also say I wouldn't give anyone shit about it. I would just handle it.
That specific offense?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can't, if anyone would look at you like you're crazy, if you're like, I need you to clear that.
It also just takes one press of a button to get rid of it.
And you know what? You don't notice it unless you're close to the microwave. And in that case, you can beep boop and fix it. But it's that kind of OCD stuff that really does mess with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just and this is like OCD 101, like that thought in the back of your brain that, like, you have unfinished something somewhere.
Well,
I have to clear it.
Like, when I still had a gas car, I would be so, I would just try to make it till the dollar amount was a dollar amount.
Oh, it's the best.
Instead of like 39.89, I'd be like, I need it to be $40.
Yeah.
I can't have, and they won't let you. The cents will go like 3 cents over.
I've got a life hack.
And then you're like, you sort of keep, you go inside and you give them the.
No.
What is it?
Buy a larger vehicle with a big gas tank.
Like a Jeep.
And live in California. And the pumps, a lot of them max out at $100.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
that's my life.
So you can just...
Is it $100 every time you fill up?
And it's not even full.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh,
they max
so
out
sad.
At $100. What if you drive like a big truck?
Then just you gotta go in there and probably pay a couple times.
And I don't know if it's every pump, but there's a gas station by us and it stops at $100 even.
And it doesn't fill your Jeep up?
No.
And then, like, so it's like my OCD is satisfied, but my soul is crushed.
There's nothing worse than, like, spending the time and going to the fucking gas place.
The gas getting place.
Going to the gas station and taking all the time to fill up the gas and it doesn't fill up all the way. And you're like, I wasted my time because I'm going to have to fucking come back.
I have a question. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Do we think that there is a manufacturer feature in every car where your gas gauge, like, it stays at full for, like,
30 miles,
40 miles. Is that every car?
You can top off over full, you know, like...
I'm talking, like, where the machine stops.
I know.
Like, when it stops.
Mm. Yeah, I think it measures full, and I think you go over, like, a few gallons over full. So that's why it doesn't move for a minute.
I hate leaving that initial grace period that you have on your
just
meter. Know,
you're hella full for, like, a week.
I can, like, drive up and down from Orange County, and it doesn't move. And then all of a sudden,
it's empty.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, my life is falling apart once the needle starts going down. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, guilty, I guess, leaving the mic.
You got to turn that thing off. Clear it
off. Or don't worry about it.
I'm saying guilty.
Depends on the mood that day.
Clear it.
All right. Well,
I always say back to zero with everything you do.
Mm.
Neutralize.
Yes.
When we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
True Crime.
Yeah. It's rewind time.
Okay. So we did some, like, mini deep dives, but, like, there was nothing enough to do a full dive on today.
You know, unfortunately, sometimes, like, this dark day thing we want to do, not everything, some days are just wonderful and there's nothing dark that happens. We have to get creative because, and that should be good. Like, this is not a disappointment.
True.
Dark days are plentiful otherwise, right?
No, it's not a disappointment because we're talking about some dark shit.
That's right.
So basically what I did is just Google dark things, dark facts.
Or just...
And you know what? You could do this forever because life is fucking crazy.
Yes.
The world is dark as fuck.
Sure is.
So, you know, we're just going to jump into some random dark historical facts.
I thought we were going to get a nice break from it. And here we are going even deeper.
No.
So.
Okay.
We have to.
Fact one. An entire factory crew happily worked with radium in the 1920s, and most of them died horrifically of radiation poisoning not too long after.
Sick.
So they were doing, they were working at the United States Radium Corporation to use paint watch dials. So they're putting the radium into watches.
Yeah.
And they were obviously unaware of what radium could do to human beings.
Is radium like a solid metal?
I believe they were probably using it to I actually, I don't know, because part of like me thinks they were using the luminescence or something. Yeah.
Oh, maybe for were they making glow in the dark pieces of watches in the 20s?
I don't know. I actually, that's so weird that I don't know that.
Oh, wait, no. I mean, it says, so it has, yeah, impressive glow in the dark properties, made it popular for use in paints, and many female factory workers were hired by them, whatever. So what part of their job was to sharpen the point that they were using of their paintbrush with their teeth. So they're ingesting the radium
as
they went.
And it's very Susan and George in Seinfeld looking envelopes.
Oh my God, it is.
Like, it's very that.
So it said sometimes they would even mess around and paint their skin, their teeth, and their nails for fun. And it says years later, a lot of them had radiation ailments, like decaying teeth, crumbling bones, and spines that crushed under their own weight.
Honestly, I love the playfulness of like, look at my radium teeth.
I know.
But like, that's some shit I would do.
Well, it reminds
but it's sad that it wasn't safe.
It's like the Chernobyl show of like everybody dancing and all of the fucking
kids are like, it's like
the dust.
Oh man.
They turned to dust?
No, it was like after the Chernobyl explosion.
It was in the air. So there was radiation.
Oh, there was radiation and it was all in the ash. And like there was this scene. I mean, it was from the show, but it was a scene of all these kids like twirling around and all of the like radium ash is just falling all over them. And then they all probably died. Yeah. Anyways.
Gosh.
Okay. Number two, in the 18th century, a woman actually convinced doctors that she was giving birth to rabbits.
Convinced which doctors?
How did
not witch doctors?
Them?
Like
she said,
whom?
Mary Toft. I mean, it was in the 18th century, so we're in the 1700s. Reportedly, quote unquote, gave birth to up to 9 of the fluffy creatures at a time. Doctors were convinced that she was telling the truth until they found pieces of corn inside the stomach of one of the rabbits, proving that she was a liar. But
how did it prove?
She was a sick bitch because she had been manually inserting the rabbits to make delivery look as realistic as possible. This woman was fucking sick.
Poor
what?
Bunnies.
Who's sick?
Huh?
Were they alive?
I mean, yeah.
What?
Oh, I'm done.
Really?
Quit.
Oh my God.
So gross.
It's so deranged.
Okay.
How, whatever.
It's mental illness. So I'm like trying to have empathy because like,
yeah, back,
that's obviously mental illness.
Yes.
And, but it's just very sad to hear about that.
Oh my God.
I mean, apparently the rabbits lived.
Well, good for them.
I mean, they're
them.
Dead now because it was in the 1700s.
Yeah, but for how long did they live?
Okay, so the next one. In 1518, the city of Strasbourg was hit by a dancing plague where people would dance uncontrollably for days at a time.
That's a plague I can get on board
with.
That's
what's up.
Exactly. So it began with a single woman dancing solo for a few days. Imagine being that bitch.
That's you.
Before eventually more and more people became affected. So this, I mean, this reminds me kind of like of Salem in a sense.
Well, you know
of.
What? When you see someone dancing and having fun,
you really want to dance.
There's literally nothing that gets me off my ass faster than seeing my friend on a dance floor having fun. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And like, that is contagious.
Well, did you see there was a report saying that something like that was supposed to hit the U.S. this summer?
A dance and flu?
Yeah, in July. It's the Sad Summer Festival featuring my band and others. July.
That was perfect. That was a nice plug. So it said doctors proclaimed that the illness was caused by overheated blood and recommended that the inflicted should continue to shimmy and sway the fever away.
Oh my
God. Musicians were even called in and a stage was set up to the town center to give the dancers more room.
So they thought the dancing helped?
That's what they're saying.
This is what I'm talking about. We're doing that.
It said, while the idea may seem funny at first, most of them kept dancing until they fell unconscious and some of them died from exhaustion, heart attack, or stroke.
There were deaths?
They danced themselves to death.
To exhaustion.
Wow.
My self-preservation kicks in the second I'm a little tired.
Oh my God.
You know, I'm like a little tired almost now. Like I'm almost ready for my evening.
Yeah. I could not dance myself to death. Please. That's for sure.
Sure.
Okay, so the next one is many people were buried alive.
When?
I think
many. You mean over the course of time?
I mean, this just says being buried alive was way more common than you would have thought in the 18th century, okay? So we're going to 1700s. It says, at the time, the mortality rate was so high that doctors weren't always present to make sure that the patient was actually dead, which is crazy. So witnesses would just often just be like, that person's dead.
Well, they probably didn't know how to check a pulse. They probably didn't know how to do like the signs of life testing that are super rudimentary. Like they didn't know.
Extra importance on the job of coroner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is really, really scary.
The problem got so bad that people started taking additional measures to make sure the corpse had, like, was pipes, dead before burying them.
And they would
them.
Have pipes going up in case they woke up.
So they could yell.
Oh.
So they could scream and also get air. They would like do a little air hole.
So this said the tests that they were doing.
I'm like, then just wait to bury them. If you're not sure, why don't you just wait like 3 days?
Yeah.
Like,
but maybe one of them was in a coma.
You ever see that movie with Ryan Reynolds where he's in a box?
No.
What? What's it called?
I can't remember the name. I watched it on the tour bus one time, but he's in the whole movie. I think it's like one setting and he's like, I don't know. I think there's multiple scenes.
We'll get there.
All right, Jared.
He's in a box.
We'll
he's buried
we're
alive.
Done with this.
He's buried alive.
Okay. What a great explanation of that movie.
That's all there is. That's what
I
it is.
I don't want to watch it. So anyways, their additional measures that they would take included shouting in their ear, sticking needles under their toenails, and whipping them with nettles.
That's torture. Mm. Needles under a fingernail is torture. And you're doing that to be like, is Papa awake? It's like, oh, we want to maim, we want to disfigure Papa to find out if he's awake or not.
Yeah.
There must be, throw some cold water on the man.
I mean, that's why like a little smelling salt would probably do the trick.
Yeah. Anything. Don't put stuff on my fingernail.
Toenail.
Even worse.
Ugh.
Do you know a great percentage of our bones are on our feet?
Really?
Like the number, quantity?
So I think 25% of all of our bones are on our feet.
Makes sense. You have a lot of movement.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but also in your hands. Dexterous.
Hmm.
Anyways.
I also have bones all over the rest of my
body.
Our
toes have, our feet have more bones than hands.
Nice fact.
I like that. I do
that
like that.
That's a fun fact.
It's kind of, true. It kind of makes me weird. Like, I've grossed out now.
Makes me want to go get a foot massage and treat my feet a little better.
Yeah, take really care of all those bones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the last fact that we're going to get into is in the 1800s, a lot of dentures were made using the teeth of dead soldiers. Dentures were a pretty big deal among the upper classes in the late 18th century and early 19th. Typically, high sugar diets combined with early attempts at teeth whitening, which wore away enamel instead of brightening it, meant that their teeth were in a really bad condition.
They were whitening their teeth back then?
God knows with what. Probably
bleach.
The radium.
Bleach.
Like just straight up bleach.
Probably.
And it said the easiest and most profitable way to acquire human teeth for dentures was to take them from the dead. And the battlefield of Waterloo presented thousands of recently killed soldiers whose teeth were unfortunately ripe for the looting.
Just harvesting teeth.
It doesn't, I mean, that one actually doesn't surprise me that much.
How is it different than the tooth fairy?
It's pretty much the human tooth fairy.
Yeah.
Dark tooth fairy, dark facts.
Again, now I'm afraid of the tooth fairy again.
Again.
I thought I'd already done this in my lifetime. Oh, well.
Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to find out some bad things that you people did next.
Woo!
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, naughty boys and girls, let's get right into this.
Let's go.
Hi, guys. I'm calling with the worst thing I've ever done. Back when I was in high school, I had a job at a Subway, you know. Great high school job, not exactly the best in terms of people showing you kindness and respect. So there were a few times where I just got, you know, a little annoyed at people's behavior, whether it was them talking on the phone while I was trying to take their order or just being outright rude to me and showing me no respect. So when they weren't looking, I would just sneak one little jalapeno into their sandwich and think maybe next time they would just think again about how they're treating people in food service. So that's the worst thing I've ever done. Now I probably wouldn't do that, knowing people's allergies and, you know, just overall guilt. But back then, it felt really good. Bye.
This has definitely happened to me before.
Me too. Now I'm wondering.
And I feel like I'm very pleasant when I'm ordering food. I'm the kind of person who will, like, there's definitely a threshold, but I'll deal with most things, like, on my sandwich or on my whatever. I don't send shit back.
Sure.
Unless it's like a rock or something. Right. That being said, there's been multiple times where something surprisingly spicy hits me. And I don't think I did anything to deserve it. But, and I also think, just to tell you, caller, don't feel bad about that. That's pretty innocent. I mean, we were just saying, I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody with a jalapeno allergy, even though I'm sure they exist.
I said that.
I mean, listen.
Yeah, yeah, but.
But, like, no, I've never heard of anyone with a jalapeno allergy.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody has a jalapeno allergy out there.
Then it's got to be all peppers. Like, there's no way a jalapeno messes you up, but yeah, a bell pepper doesn't.
Well, I don't know. But anyways, even if you do, if you have, like, a deadly jalapeno allergy, you shouldn't be going to Subway. Cross-contamination everywhere.
This,
like,
is
you
true.
You don't know when a jalapeno is going to slip their way into the sandwich, even if you weren't an asshole.
Any deadly allergy, cook your own. Like, I know that sucks, and that's so unfair.
So unfair.
But so unfair. But, like, yeah, I wouldn't trust a soul. Like, my stepmom has a turmeric allergy. And when we go out to dinner, she has to ask, like, if anything has turmeric in it. And, like, they put turmeric in a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, they might just have it in there. And they say no.
And they don't know.
Yeah, she carries an EpiPen just in case. But, yeah, like, smart, it's a whole thing.
So, allergies aside, I think it's pretty harmless. And it's a good prank.
I love it.
I love it.
I'm into it.
A surprise. More people should start spice. Doing this.
It's such a, like, non-naughty retaliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's like, because, okay, say you're not allergic to jalapenos. Spicy gets you. Like, have you ever had a shishito pepper you weren't expecting?
Oh, yeah.
All of them are not spicy, and then you have one that is, and you're like, what did I do to deserve this? Yep. Like, that's what people should be asking themselves.
Yep.
Yeah.
I ordered a turkey sandwich with no peppers, and I got this one jalapeno. Like, what did I do to deserve it? Well, think about it.
Karmic retribution.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe you changed some lives by doing this. Maybe you made some people reflect, be like, what did I do to deserve this? And they're like,
I think so.
I know.
I do love that.
Me too.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have for today. That's
yeah, it? We're not doing a stanza because I need, like, a solid theme. And this was more of a
big riff.
It was a riff because, I'm sorry, everyone, nothing bad happened on May 18th.
Other than the Mount St. Helens explosion.
Other than that.
But other, like, than the craterization of a gigantic
kind of beautiful hill. To know, I mean, that there was a 50, day.
60 people.
It's awful. That's awful. But, like, it wasn't awful enough to talk about during True Crime Rewind.
Yeah.
It's not important enough.
That's a natural disaster. It's not a crime. It's so sad.
But not important enough.
You know. No, so important, but we didn't do it for the dark days.
Isn't this a Rewind. Seinfeld? I mean, this is a great place to end. Isn't there a Seinfeld where he's talking about it? What, like, X amount of people had died, but it wasn't.
Oh,
as
yeah,
many
it was the cruise.
It was the cruise.
Andrew Doria.
Yeah.
He's like, how many people usually die on a cruise?
He was
50,
trying to get the
60?
Apartment. He was trying to get the apartment.
It is full circle. And no matter what you do, quote, you can't get away from it.
No,
Costanza.
No, we're going to end with that clip from Seinfeld now.
We've already ran that clip before.
We have? We'll run it
second
again.
Time's
all right.
A charm.
All right.
The Andrea Doria collided with a Stockholm in dense fog 12 miles off the coast of Nantucket.
How do you know?
It's in my book, Astonishing Tales of the Sea. 51 people died.
51 people?
Mm-hmm.
That's it? I thought it was like 1,000.
Or 1,660 survivors.
That's no tragedy. How many people do you lose on a normal cruise? 30? 40? Kramer, can I take a look at that book?
Oh, yeah. I also got astounding bear attacks. Hey.